Hello. Good morning. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 say this: when you were spiritually dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God the Father made you spiritually alive together with the Lord Jesus Christ, having forgiven us all our transgressions. I swear to you, I'm going to kill myself right here in public one day. Colossians 2:14, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ has taken that certificate of debt out of the way as a barrier to relationship, having nailed it to the cross. Legalism is a way to invite the church age believer back into the bondage of a religious system. But church age believers have been freed from the bonds of the Mosaic law and are now under grace. Thus, the sin nature has no power over us, and the Mosaic law has no power over us because it has been fulfilled in Christ. So we revel in our freedom, and we refuse to be entangled again in the yoke of slavery. The Word of God refers to Bible study as a time of renewing, a great time to let God change your mind. John chapter 15, verse 11 says, "These things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, happiness, and that your joy may be made full." The Lord's joy keeps filling the deficiencies in our joy, regardless of circumstances. The circumstances that might be our present reality, maybe tremendous circumstances of adversity. The Lord has made perfect provision for our happiness. And we simply choose to let His happiness pervade our lives, and we enjoy the freedom and we enjoy the blessings that our Lord obtained for us at the cross. Welcome to a place where you can, in humility, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. As God prepares you for renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song as you think about the Lord and as you let those thoughts bring you joy. The opening song is "I Will."
Of my own, I will ascend above. Most High. These are my five I wills. I am filled with pride.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to forgive, especially in situations where we have been unjustly wronged. Help us to go back into the fire of relationships and to love as you do, even when we're being hurt. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor-teacher, and that's a gift given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you believers in Christ for the work of service. Welcome to a ministry designed for those who want a deep and intimate and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's study, unconditional love and forgiveness, are in the foundation of relationships. Unconditional love and forgiveness are in the foundation of relationships. Before we get started, a few announcements. Prayers, if you would, for Meredith Dismet. She is the daughter of Susie Embry and the sister of Denny Goodall. She's 39 years old, and late in the week, she had a stroke. So I would appreciate it if you would keep her husband Eric and her children Trey, Hayden, and Jackson in your prayers. Now, when I heard about this, of course, I know that there are a lot of believers in Christ who love this woman and who are positive to the Word of God. And so I felt a calm about that. And the first news that we heard was that she had had a stroke and that she was going into surgery. And Mike and Susie were coming back from vacation and heard the news then. But since then, we've learned that she indeed didn't have to have surgery, and that when she was pinched, she said, ouch, and she was sitting up yesterday and eating, and she's recognizing her relatives, and she is being moved out of the intensive care unit today. So once again, We've seen God take a situation that is a potential disaster and at our request turn it into something wonderful. And, you know, Meredith, I know that you'll be listening to this at some point. We just want you to know how much we love and care about you, and we hope that you continue to do the things that are necessary for your health so that you can prevent situations like this in the future. Meredith has high blood pressure, as do I, and high blood pressure is the silent killer. And if you don't take your medication, you know, you can have an incident, and the first warning is the incident. And that first warning can cost you your life. And so we're really happy that this story is probably going to have a happy ending. I mean, I can't even imagine what it must be like for Eric to see this situation with the person that he loves and then having children. And I remember this situation vividly when my wife had to go in the hospital and, you know, we had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do now? You know, I'm pretty good at raising kids, but I have to work too, so how am I going to pull that off? What are they going to do, travel with me? You know, so it's just really, really a disconcerting situation when things like this happen. And so, Meredith, you're in our prayers. Eric and Trey and Hayden and Jackson, you're in our prayers. And we know with absolute confidence that our God is going to come through for you like he always does. And Susie and Denny, and all of the people who are in this congregation and who are related to this situation, you are in our prayers as well. And we thank you for your strength and for the power that you have in this situation because of your positive volition toward God and toward his word. Prayers also for, I don't think I put in a physical slide, but prayers also for Logan Johnston. You know, I think you know that Logan is the son of Rachel, Ben and Rachel Johnston, and he fell this week and fractured his skull. So, you know, the first thing we're going to do is take the guardian angels to task, right? Because they were supposed to be on duty and they were evidently sleeping on the job. But this typically happens with kids when they're about 10 months old, where they start getting, you know, a little announcement that they actually have to be careful themselves. And, they're too young to understand that, but they start falling and actually hitting their head. I've seen kids, when the guardian angels are on duty, you know, they fall straight for a table, and then it's almost like the table moves out of the way. But, you know, at a point, that stops happening, and it's just unfortunate that that beautiful little boy had to go through this. And, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine what this is like for parents, because, you know, all parents have these incidents where their kid is hurt, and it's just a devastating emotional experience. But Logan, please put Logan in your prayers and Ben and Rachel in your prayers as well. And we, again, know that our God will come through. So some mark your calendars things. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is May 12th, 2013, and that is also our Mother's Day celebration, and that will be next week. By the way, next week we will be back in the other location. Jerry, we're going home. So back in the other location next week. The homecoming for the soon-to-be resident congregation, June 14 and through 16. Deacon Caleb Alburn and Mandy Alburn are coordinating it. Registration on the website. We have 25 of the soon-to-be resident congregation members registered, 13 resident members registered. So if you intend to come, please do register so that we have an accurate head count. Pastor John Farley is joining us on Saturday. The lessons will be in the mornings on both days. We'll also have a concert with June and Nancy Rubel belting out their tunes. We're going to have, I don't even know what that's going to be like. I trust Nancy. I trust Nancy, I'll tell you that. I don't know what you're going to be doing, but, yeah. Probably the Satan Ominous song, I don't know, but. But we're looking forward to that, actually. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun that weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll finish by noon on Sunday. And so we're looking forward to a gathering of all of Barah Ministries that at that time. So get your flights booked, get your hotels booked, and get over here. Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference, August 9th, up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And no face-to-face teaching, June 30th, August 25th, September 1st, December 8th, December 29th. Prayers also for Jamie Mastercola and family, Dominic. The family dog went home to be with the Lord on April 29th. There's Dom, Pitbull. What a great dog. 16 years, almost 16 years old. And that's a long time for a dog to live. He's a pit bull terrier, but he's a wimp. I beat him in a wrestling match with his... Yeah, that's all right. So I beat a pit bull terrier in a wrestling match. With, yeah, no. I mean, you know, because pit bulls, you know, they got those jaws, the locking, never let go of jaws, right? And he had the ball, and I'm thinking... For a while, I'm thinking, I'm not going to beat this guy. You know, he's kind of tough, but eventually, you know, strength prevailed. But if doggies go to heaven, Dominic is definitely going to be there because he was a fantastic animal. And, you know, the testimony to him as an animal is when all of the girls heard that he was sick, they all converged on Dallas to be with him at the end. And, you know, that's quite a testimony for a person, much less an animal. But, you know, when these girls look at the chapters of their lives, Dominic is on every page. And so it's quite a horrible experience to lose an animal that you love that much. But he was very, very, very loved. So rest in peace, Dominic. Barah Ministries is on Pal Talk. That started last Monday, and so we're on every day, courtesy of Deacon Larry and Pat Collins. And I joined one of the sessions this week. I got my sign on. Getting your sign on is really easy to do. This is at 5 p.m. Pacific and Mountain Standard. It's at 6 p.m. Mountain Daylight, 7 p.m. Central Daylight, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it's a replay of our Sunday lessons. And then on Thursday and Friday, replays of previous important lessons. And I was on, I think, on Thursday. And one of the cool things is when you sign into the room, the Royal Family Room, and you're listening to the lesson, I think Deacon Larry Collins puts up text to go along with the lesson. So you're not only hearing the lesson, but you're seeing the lesson in text as well, which is beautiful. And so the Monday sessions have a 20-minute prayer meeting to begin. So this is something that you can make a regular part of your routine if you like. You know, I've always suggested that you listen to all the lessons on Sunday, and then on Monday you listen to the first, and on Tuesday you listen to the second, and on Wednesday you listen to the third, and then you repeat that cycle Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This is a great way to do that at a scheduled time. And so we thank Deacon Larry and Pat Collins for setting that up. So here's just a reminder of how you get on Pal Talk. You go to www.paltalk.com. You download the software, which is a routine matter. It's simply a click. And then you choose a nickname. And then you sign into the Royal Family Room. I had a little difficulty with that, but I think it was under, if I remember right, I think it was under Christianity. And then you get into the Royal Family Room. And I had to actually scroll down to find the room. There's a little scroll bar on the side, and I had to scroll down to find the room. That was the only difficulty. And then just listen. So something really cool, and I suggest that you tune in. If you can't find the Royal Family Room, let us know, and we'll send you an invitation. Somebody requested an invitation this week, and it was really an easy matter for Larry to get her an invitation. So that made it easier for her to get in. All right, next we'll take the offering, and today I'm going to do that. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. I am the best beggar in Barah Ministries, and so your pockets are about to be fleeced. I just want you to know that. So we begin with this. No price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who wants biblical teaching may have it free of charge. And BarahMinistries.com provides a way for people to get the truth of the Word of God daily at no charge. Now, we were sneaking around behind your back, and that's what I want to tell you. First of all, we were sneaking around behind your back, And we were looking for a facility to house us that was a little more permanent than the hotel situations. And we found a great one. And we had developed a floor plan for it with an architect, and it would have allowed us a lot of things. It would have allowed us to leave all the equipment up every week so that the deacons don't have to get up at 5:30 and drag their butts over here and set up every week and then tear down every week. It would have allowed us to, the deacons are stabbing themselves in the heart right now, right? It would have allowed us to have a stable internet situation so that we could have gone live. And so that the people on the East Coast could get the lessons now instead of at 6:30 at night when we get back home to upload them. It would have allowed us to have offices and separate rooms for our kids ministry and our teens ministry. And it would have allowed for a pastor's office where I could go to sleep between lessons. It really was a great facility. And it would have taken us from $1,200 a month, which is what we pay for the hotels, to $5,000 a month. So we decided against it. We have a great team of people that were looking into this, and they are financial experts, financial sharks, I would say, who are squeezing every tier out of every quarter that's coming in for Barah Ministries. And those are exactly the people that you want on your sides, and I no less among them, pretty frugal in spending money. So we decided against it, because we were going to do a 3-year contract, and it would have meant that we would have put about $180,000 into rents over a 3-year period. And so we thought that instead we could put that money into our building. So we're looking into another space that may be less expensive. Stay tuned on that. We have decided to begin the plan for the building. So the first part of that plan is to hire an architect to help us to decide exactly what we need and to get the land that we have rezoned for a church, and then to solve a problem that we have about how we're going to handle septics at the site, because there's a septic tank there, but it is not big enough for us. And to get into the sewer system, we would have to dig through a bunch of people's yards. And I am one of the most persuasive people that you will ever meet, and I'm convinced that I could get these people to let us dig up their yards. But it's a big undertaking, honestly. So the architect costs $75,000. We don't have that. So I negotiated a deal with the architect where we could pay over time, and it takes $20,000 to start. We have $7,500 in a fund that you have given for the building, and that money has been set aside. So we're going to find a way to get him to start fairly quickly. But we'd appreciate your support with that. We're also going to investigate a loan to get the building started. We don't have any idea how much a building costs, but we will after this first $20,000 is put into play. And what Nick, our architect, will do is he'll find out what we need. He'll draw renderings of the place, and we'll show it to you so that you could actually see what you would be investing in. I think that we're never going to get a building on that property if we expect that a congregation of about 100 people is going to be able to give enough for us to get that property on the building. So we've been investigating a lot of different ways. There are companies that we can hire who do professional fundraising. And for $25,000, we can get them to do a feasibility study that tells us how much they could get for us. And for $120,000, they could go get the money. And it could be that during the feasibility study, they find that we could get $1.5 million or $2 million or $5 million for not only the building, but for projects that we want to run in service to the community. And the company that we investigated seems very reputable to me. And I know that these companies don't like doing this stuff and then failing at it. So there are a lot of people in the world who are willing to fund projects like this because they get a tax break for doing it and because they're actually benevolent. So we're going to check into that. And we'd appreciate your support. If you have knowledge or ideas about how funds can be raised for churches, that would be helpful too, because there are a lot of great resources and assets within Barah Ministries. And we really haven't investigated how to string those assets together. But we've got a hell of a great group of people here. And now it's going to be time for us to put our heads together and see how we erect a place for us to worship and invite people to. We on our current land, we find that we get squatters. We've noticed in the place where we have land, we have a building on it, and we haven't torn that building down yet, because sometimes when you don't tear down a structure, you get certain privileges that you wouldn't get if the place was leveled. And so we aren't going to tear it down until Nick does his work. But people go in there and squat. We found syringes and different things in there, people kind of moving in. And we have some nice some barns on the property. Somebody calls me every week to try to buy that land. So I know it's a very valuable piece of land. But we're going to need your help with demolition of the buildings when we decide that that's what we do. There, if you're a Craigslist aficionado, there are barns or sheds on there that we could sell. So once we get this thing started, after Nick does his initial work, we're going to be asking you to participate with your expertise. And so we're really looking forward to that. We need your help with money. We need your help with expertise. And if you can contribute anything to that project, you should let us know. This is going to be a great bonding experience for us. Let me repeat that. This is going to be a great bonding experience for us. This is not going to be what everybody says it is. Oh, this will be something that divides the church and tears it up. No, it's not. No, this is going to be a great bonding experience for us. And tell me how perfect the timing is that we're studying unconditional love during the time that we start this thing. So this is going to be a great experience for us. I'm looking forward to it. So I wanted to tell you about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so we are confident that our Lord is going to provide the resources that are required for us to do this thing, and that we can, from this, start to influence our community. And so I'm looking forward to it. So when you think about giving, there are the things that you do to give to the regular operation of the ministry. But there are things that you can give to that go beyond that. And I know that a lot of us have this really bad taste in our mouth about giving to spiritual things. I know that when I was in Pastor Thiem's ministry, I would give only when I saw that they were in the red. And I don't think that that was a really good way to give. I think the giving should have been something regular. I think you guys give regularly. I don't know whether you knew this, but you can set up a situation where a regular amount goes right into the ministry from your checking account every month. And some people in the congregation have asked about that and said, "Can we set that up? Because I forget sometimes." And so, yes, we can set that up if you want that set up. So just let us know. But, you know, I don't want to ever be in a position where I come to you and talk to you about giving to the ministry, and it creates that creepy feeling inside of you that we've always had about giving related to spiritual things. Because in a ministry where everything is free of charge to the people who are receiving, the provision of that, it's free of charge but not without cost, that comes off your back. That comes from your generosity. And if you could see, if I could violate the privacy of people who have kept this ministry afloat, you would be shocked at how few give so much to do this, because they consider this ministry to be a priority and this pastor to be a priority. And so I'm asking you to think of Barah Ministries that way. Because when you think of Barah Ministries that way, you're thinking of your God as a priority, and He definitely is. And I know that you're not confused in your hearts about that. So those are the things I have to say about this for now, and we'll keep you posted as things go on. Remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must do just as he has purposed in his own heart, from free will, not grudgingly or under compulsion, because God loves a grace-oriented giver. So we'll take the offering. The offering song is All Who Are Thirsty. How's that? So welcome back. Today's study, unconditional love and forgiveness are in the foundation of relationships. So our study of unconditional love turns to a study of relationships. There's nothing more important to the Lord Jesus Christ than relationships. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, for a quick lesson in forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Peter was being generous. The rabbis taught in the teaching of the Jewish culture that two or three times is more than enough forgiveness. So Peter was being magnanimous by suggesting seven times. Matthew 18, 22, Jesus said to Peter, "I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." The Lord expanded that proviso and said the forgiveness has no limits. 490 times if necessary, or 490 more times after that. And two letters come to my mind when I hear that. Unconditional love. Then the Lord Jesus Christ told a story to illustrate the point. And it begins at Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. He said, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves." Matthew 18, 24. "And when he had begun to settle the accounts, one slave who owed the king 10,000 talents was brought to him." 10,000 talents. Huh. I wonder how much that was. Well, here's a Roman currency chart. What? Why are you laughing? You knew I would have it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to teach. What am I going to say? Oh, guess how much that is? No, I'm not going to do that. So, yeah, I got it covered. All right. So one talent value in U.S. dollars was $600,000. And just to give you some perspective on that, that is 16 years' wages for the average person at this time. Bible has to be interpreted in the time as it was written. And so if you owed somebody one talent, you owed them $600,000 or 16 years' wages. How much did this guy owe? 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents is $60 million or 160,000 years' wages. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how did brother get in that kind of debt? What exactly did he get? Man. And why would the king, what was the king thinking? Because nobody likes you. No, I'm kidding. Everybody loves you. You have a dog. Well, you did. So a talent was a weight in gold of 60 to 80 pounds. So 10,000 talents was a sum of money that could not be paid back in several lifetimes. It was over $60 million, and this is analogous to salvation. You see, there is nothing we could ever do to pay for it. It's so valuable that even over 160,000 lifetimes, we could never pay for it. But since the slave did not have the means to repay, so let's go on. I'll show you the rest of the chart later. Matthew 18, 25. But since the slave did not have the means to repay, the Lord, the king, commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and for repayment to be made so as much money as possible could be recovered, any amount. That's called cutting your losses. Matthew 18, 26. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before the king, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." How many times have we said that to the Lord? How many times have we vowed to the Lord? If you just let me off the hook on this one thing, I promise I'll pay you back. But how are you going to pay back $60 million? It takes 160,000 lifetimes. How are you going to pay it back? You couldn't pay it back. So this is in line with what we do when we request salvation. Although we don't have to beg.
You don't have to beg me to love you. Did you get a goosebump just now?
Yeah.
Because every time we have a conversation, every time we have a conversation and something like this comes up, I always take one of her songs and start singing. So You Don't Have to Beg is one that is always on tap. But we make vows that we can't keep. Matthew 18:27, the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. At salvation, the Lord cancels out the debt consisting of decrees against us and nails our debt to the cross. We are forgiven. Matthew 18:28, but the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. A denarii, another unit of Roman currency. And what is it? 1 denarius was 16 cents, which is one day's wage. 100 denarius is $116, or 100 days' wage. So 100 denarii is much less than the slave who was collecting his debt owed to the king. The slave's debt of 10,000 talents was forgiven, but the slave would not forgive the debt of 100 denarii that was owed to him. Matthew 18:29. So his fellow slave fell on the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But Matthew 18:30, he was unwilling to forgive and went and threw the slave in prison until he should pay back what was owed. And so when the fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Matthew 18:32, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Matthew 18:33, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? You see, God's forgiveness includes the forgiveness of all sins for the believer and the unbeliever. And he expects us to forgive the same way. Matthew 18:34, and his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. A simple lesson in forgiveness. Isn't it funny how we are forgiven so much? We are loved so much unconditionally. And yet when it is time for us to reflect that love, we forget. Take a 5-minute break. Thank you. Welcome back. Hey, do you guys like studying the Bible? You like those passages? I like those passages. They give me goosebumps. And by the way, I got a little, all the math aficionados in the group, you know, the autistic savants that we have in the group. Oh, what's wrong? Definitely, chart was definitely an accurate course. Of course, 100 times 16 cents is definitely $16, definitely not $116. Oh, so just wanted you to know that we saw that. All right, so we are back. We're studying unconditional love, God's unconditional love. The study of unconditional love is really the study of relationships. The Creator and His creatures are in a relationship. And the foundation of that relationship was the blessing from God of unconditional love. God knew in eternity past, before the foundation of the world, that His creatures would need unconditional love, and He provided it. At a point, creatures injured the relationship between them and God through a complete betrayal, and they required forgiveness. Well, we now turn our attention in the study of unconditional love to this thing called forgiveness, which is at the foundation of great relationships. Both unconditional love and forgiveness are foundational to relationships. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, "Now faith, hope, and love abide in the sphere of these three, but the greatest of these is unconditional love." And unconditional love is several things. Unconditional love is a reflection of the essence of God. This is not something that unbelievers have. It's not something that unbelievers do. It is the foundation of the gospel message invitation. The gospel message invitation is you are a sinner and you need a Savior, but that's not a problem because God loves you unconditionally. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind, whosoever. Unconditional love is uncontainable. One of the reasons systematic theology has such a tough time teaching unconditional love, and one of the reasons systematic theology, for the most part, ignores unconditional love, is because unconditional love can't be contained. It is as immanent and transcendent as is God. Legalism is an attempt to contain God's magnificence with a set of finite rules. And I have been wondering for years why we as doctrinal believers are so constrained in our view of God. Now I know. He is limitless. And we try often in our minds through our paradigms, like systematic theology, to limit Him, to reduce Him to something that we have the capacity to understand. Isn't that what we always do? Isn't it funny how we, when we are loved by somebody in a way that is bigger than our capacity to understand it, we just take that love and we dismantle it as if it is a fly and reduce it to something that we can understand. And so when somebody loves us with all of their being, and gives all of themselves to us, that love is something that can't be contained. And what do we reduce it to? Oh, well, He's controlling. Oh, she's... You want me to say it? I can't say that word up here. Would you try to get me to alienate all the women of the congregation more than I already have? But no, isn't it funny how we reduce it to words? We reduce that magnificent thing called love. Isn't it funny how we hide from love? Isn't it funny the things we do to kill, to suck all the joy out of love, as if somehow we can contain it and protect ourselves from being hurt? I don't want to get in a relationship because I don't want to get hurt. Oh! God can't be contained in this way. And it is not until we start to see life from his eyes that we truly understand that love is not containable. Love is transformative. Unconditional love changes things. It changes everything. Unconditional love shows concerns for others even when they are harming you. Have you ever been in a relationship like that? Where you continue to inflict harm on the relationship and yet the person that you're in relationship with continues to hang in there with you and continues to love you and continues to shower you with love? And how did you treat that love? How did you think of that love? Did you think of that love as you were in a relationship with a sucker, a dupe, somebody who could be manipulated? Did you reduce it to that? Unconditional love forgives. This is what we're studying. You know, being a pastor, I always think about, you know, what's my contribution to Christianity going to be? What is my contribution going to be to the pool of knowledge? And, you know, you realize really quickly how small you are. I don't have anything to contribute to the pool of knowledge in Christianity. Revelation is already done. And there's nothing that I'm going to discover that hasn't been discovered before. I have nothing to contribute. All I have to contribute is myself. And all I want to do is to illuminate what's already been revealed, not to add anything to it. And so you settle into your job as a pastor, understanding exactly what it is, that you're giving your life to Christ, you're giving up your reputation, and at a point, people will hate you for your reputation. They will categorize you and box you in and reduce you to their capacity and dismiss you. And you just say, that's fine because I love. Take me. Have me. Tear it off. You want my arm? Tear it off. Take the other one with you. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to teach. You know, I'll be pointing at you with my shoulders, but I'm not quitting. That was a Monty Python-esque right there, wasn't it? All the Monty Python fans went, oh, man, that's good. So I get some coconuts. Unconditional love forgives. Forgiveness is a foundational aspect of relationships, and relationships require forgiveness. And I was thinking about how much forgiveness I have had to offer in my lifetime. Because I've been hurt a lot and hurt deeply in ways that I couldn't express to you in words. And I'm not special in that regard, I don't think. But when I look at my life and I ask myself why, it's always because I've been putting my ass on the front line of everything. Yeah, one of those bad words. When you're funny. One of my, when I was on my way to the MBA program in graduate school, I had to get letters of recommendation from professors. And the professors that wrote my letters of recommendation were people who knew me really well. And one guy said something about me that I will never forget. And he said, Rory can't not lead. Rory can't not lead. Every situation he goes into, he goes to the front. And if he were asked to stay in the back, he couldn't do it. And so, you know, that's always been floating in my mind because that's what I find myself doing in virtually every situation is going to the front. And the front is where the arrows are. And you take the arrows. But I'm proud to go to the front and take the arrows for the people that I love. And I don't mind being hurt, but over the course of a lifetime, those hurts build up. and they get deeper and deeper and deeper, and I think you know what I'm talking about, because I'm sure that you've been hurt that way too. I'm sure you've been hurt, and I'm sure you've been hurt deeply. All right, so no study of unconditional love would be complete without a study of forgiveness. Why? Because we are the victims of hurts. That is to say, we get hurt by others. We get hurt often, we get hurt deeply. And we are the perpetrator of hurts. That's the part we often forget. That is to say, we hurt others, and we hurt others often, and we hurt others deeply. And when hurts occur in relationships, and we can certainly use stronger words for hurt like betrayal, it's always fun to watch how fast the perpetrator wants to dismiss the hurt to the past. Oh, did I hurt you? Oh, let me explain to you why that was okay. Let me explain to you what my rationale was for hurting you in that way. And can we just put this behind us? It's funny to me how fast the perpetrator wants to dismiss the hurt to the past, but it's also funny to me how long the victim holds the hurt in inventory, and often justifiably, right? Because when somebody hurts your feelings, that's one thing, but when you are a woman less than 18 years old and you're molested by a family member that you trust, which happens to 1 in 3 women under the age of 18 in the United States of America. 1 in 3 women in this country are walking around with a scar that does not heal. And it's easy for us to talk about, oh, you yelled at me, you hurt my feelings. It's easy to forgive that. How do you forgive the perpetrator of molestation? How do you forgive that despicable hurt inflicted? We must study forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is something we have the option to give as a gift to those who hurt us often and deeply. Forgiveness is a requirement if relationships are to continue. Forgiveness has the well-being of others in view, and simultaneous to you being unable to breathe, you've been hurt so deeply. You have probably heard it said that to forgive means to totally forget or blot out an offense as if the offense never happened. There was a time when I subscribed to that definition as a viable notion. Let me repeat that. There was a time when I subscribed to that as a viable notion. But the more I have thought about that definition of forgiveness over the years, and the more I think about it now, it is absolutely impossible, absolutely implausible, absolutely impractical to expect a human being to do that. Let me repeat that. The more I have thought about the definition of forgiveness, totally forget or blot out an offense as if the offense had never happened, the more I am convinced that it is absolutely impossible, absolutely implausible, and absolutely impractical to expect a human being to do that. I'm not even sure God forgives that way, to tell you the truth. But I'll save that discussion for a future lesson. But one thing is certain. Our continuing study of unconditional love and our study of forgiveness is going to clear up a lot of notions, because unconditional love does not mean that you have to be a doormat to someone. Forgiving does not necessarily mean that you forget. And I have not found myself able to do that. Often we think being unconditional in our love means that we have to turn ourselves into doormats. I assure you this is not the case. Forgiving often involves not forgetting at all, as we will see. And when we get deeper into this study, it will continue to do what it has been doing all year. And that is, it will call for the continuation of the spring cleaning out of the doctrinal coat hangers that are in our spiritual closets, coat hangers that are of no use, that we have had in our spiritual closets for way too long, and to replace it with those things that the Word of God says that are deadly accurate about how we are to be in relationships and how we are to treat other people and what we are to forget and what we are never to forget. Should be fun. June, come on up and sing about my favorite guy. Closing song, Come See a Man. His name is?
Jesus.
Yeah, that's my guy.
To allow it all
Thank you, June. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for the power of forgiveness. And thank you for forgiving us of all of our sins, of all of our mistakes, and all of our failures when we have failed to live up to the standards that you've set for us, the standards of absolute excellence. I pray that those who are at the other end of this message come to understand your magnificence through the study of unconditional love and forgiveness and giving, the three critical components of relationships. And I pray that we break the bonds of these routine and inaccurate explanations for our poor treatment of others and instead adopt new ways to treat people when we start looking at people through your eyes. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.